and she said that her boyfriend had committed suicide the night before, and that they had matching tattoos. And I said, "Baby, what are you doing here?" And she said, I don't want to go home. That's where he died. I don't want to be there." And I said, "You don't need to be at work today." You know, and her manager didn't even know what had happened the night before. You know, so I went to the manager and I said, "You know, she's just lost her boyfriend last night and she doesn't need to be here. Do you know any family you can call? You know, you need to do something, okay?" Because she was literally just shaking all over and did not need to be at work. So that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about today, you know, for us to be the light. That he's going to give us the intensity of this light in our lives, in worship, you know, like with Evan doing worship. And, you know, but he wants us to go out there and be the light to other people. Now, how do we become that? Have we experienced those dark places? Yeah, we have. I'm sure everybody has some stories about what they've been through. Somebody asked me yesterday, they were like, "Well, how did you do this with your son, you know, being in and out of the hospital all year last year?" And I said, "What choice did I have?" You know what I'm saying? It's like sometimes you're put in situations that you don't have any control over. But I was bringing light into the hospitals. And just last week I went up to the hospital and ministered to the girl that had the baby shower yesterday. She was in the hospital really sick. And all she wanted me to do was come up there. It's real simple. And I think it's just the simple things that we do that brings the light. Okay. I want to continue to read this. Okay. "The light of God's opulence and riches brings me joy like light on a Christmas tree. All that I am, my inner being of soul, my reason and resolve, my conscience and determination, my heart and my spirit, they are all flooded by his brilliant light." I mean, listen to the different areas. That's the reason why I love her. "My innermost being of my soul, my reason and my resolve." God, that'll help us make decisions. "My conscience and determination, my heart and my spirit are all flooded by his brilliant light." So Lord, I pray that for all of us. I pray that and declare that for all of us, that we would have all of these areas flooded with his light. And then at the end she says, "I shine, I'm refreshed, and I'm rested." See the shift? See the shift? We receive his light in whatever area that was dark, and then you shine, and you are refreshed, and then you're rested. And this should happen in worship. It should happen in worship. When we were worshiping like this morning, when we were saying, "Jesus, you know, have dominion over all these areas," then as a family, like T said, we should come into that place where we've done the divine exchange. We've given him the burdens. We've given him the worries, okay? And we've received his light. We've been empowered to go out and to do his will. Because you don't know today, you might meet someone that's in just a horrible place, might be on the verge of suicide, might be on the verge of divorce, whatever, and God is just sending you there to get some gas. And you're saying hello, right? So we don't know. So Psalms 112 in the Passion Translation says it this way: "Even if darkness overtakes them, sunrise brilliance will come bursting through, because they are gracious to others, so tender and true." Sometimes, like I said, if people are so introspective they can't see outside of this, then a lot of times they're very miserable. They're depressed. And how do I know that? Okay, I'll live it. So if you begin to figure out a way to be able to bless others, to make them a cake like Martha, she's good at making cakes. You know, use the gifts you have and begin to give out to others. You're bringing light in that situation. You don't even know sometimes when you're walking into the situation what you're walking into. You don't know. Okay, but you know you're being sent. Okay, like the other day I was in a courthouse for 9 hours, and all I did was sit and sit beside somebody. Okay, in other words, we don't have to know it all to go do it. We don't have to be, have the full revelation of why we're going. He said, just go. Okay, and then we'll be the light in that situation. All right. So in the New Living Translation, it says, light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, they are compassionate, and they are righteous. Okay, in the English translation, it said, light dawns in the darkness for the upright, for they are gracious, they are merciful, they are righteous. And then contemporary says, they will be so kind and merciful and good that they will be a light in the dark for others who do the right thing. And he's giving us a charge today to be able to do this, to be able to receive his light no matter what circumstance you're under, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter what struggles you're going through. He's saying, I am the light. And I know this is so basic, but to me it was just so profound the way he brought me this time. Because I realized in the state of North Carolina, there is such an essence of darkness. And there was one time we were coming across the state line with my husband, and I told him, we stopped at the rest stop, and I said, Lord, I don't want to go there, because I can feel the impact, okay? But he's placed us here as a light. So guess what? That means he's going to empower us. That means he's going to gird our loins. That means he's going to make our faces like flint. No matter what we see or encounter around this area, just like Pastors Matt and Sarah, brought here as lights, empowered to be here as lights, okay? And he is the one that sustains it. It's not something that we do. It's not something that we muster up. It's not something that we, positive attitude, positive attitude. No, we're talking about you go and receive from him, and then you're the light for him that day. It's his empowerment. It's his strength. It's his joy. Okay, so in Psalms 97:11, it says, for he sows seeds of light within his lovers, and the seeds of joy burst forth for the lovers of God. He sows the seeds of light. See, so we don't have to struggle with this. We don't have to, like I said, muster it up or make it happen. Because if we do, it's not going to be from him anyway. You know, because we've all tried that too. We're going to put our best foot forth, and here we go, see, we're going to do the service, and, you know. And sometimes you're not in a good place to do the service, and you're going, Lord, it has to be you, because I'm not really the place to be up here today. I'm tired, or whatever, right? But the good thing about it is, you know, that we've learned that it doesn't matter. God will equip you. God will send you, and God will have you say what you need to say. Even in the courtroom the other day, it was like, well, what do you say? What do you say? It doesn't matter. God will show you what to say or show you what to do in that circumstance. Because you've spent the time with him. You know, you've received that light. All right. So in the contemporary of 97 Psalms, verse 11, it says, if you obey and do right, a light will show you the way and fill you with happiness. And the powerful way to do that, honestly, with me, is worship. It's like I keep getting new songs. And I just went to see a friend of mine named Susan Valley, and she was ministering at Crescent with Michael Pham, and she had new CDs, you know. And I've got Elizabeth's CD, which I play all the time in the car. And you get music, and you feed your soul with worship. And your worship will dispel the darkness. It literally will just, I don't care if you have to sing crying, honey, just sing crying. But the enemy can't stand it. He can't stand when we worship, because when we worship, we're bringing Jesus closer. We're bringing Jesus, like today, we were declaring Jesus over this place. And we were bringing him to this place, because he's in us, but he's all around us too. All right, so in Psalm 18:28, it says this, God, all at once, you turned on a floodlight for me. You are revelation light in my darkness, and in your brightness, I can see the path ahead. See the shift? Okay, listen, this is what happened to me in the car, okay? God, all at once, you turned on a floodlight for me, because you are revelation light in my darkness, and in your brightness, I can see my path ahead. So he comes to us in those places where we're broken or we're struggling or whatever, and he brings the light to us in that place. Okay? In the King James Version, it says, For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For you, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. These are just different versions I have. For you light my lamp, the Lord my God illuminates my darkness. Because what it really is he's bringing things up and out of us. He wants those dark places gone. And sometimes we don't even know they're there. We don't know they're there until they're triggered. You know, you ever have met people and you begin to minister to them and you can tell that they've got unforgiveness, or they've got bitterness in their soul, and you can see it. Just as plain as that. But they keep saying, oh, I'm fine. Oh, I'm fine. I'm good. And we've all done this. We've all put on our church face and came to church and we've been, I'm okay. I'm fine. You know. But the Lord is wanting to root out that place. He's wanting to dig it up and out. And I know this is crazy, but a lot of times when I'm ministering to people and they're struggling and they're really, really manifesting in a bad way, it's like, okay, good Lord, now let's get it. Let's get this thing. Okay? Because it's coming out. It might be anger. It might be just ugly when it shows itself. But it's a place of woundedness and it's a place of orphan mentality that needs to be healed. You know, you ever go in a situation where you run up against something and you don't have the money to fix it? Maybe your car breaks down. We've all been there. You know, your car breaks down and you don't have the money to fix it. And, you know, I used to be like, well, there we go, Lord, I guess I don't have a car. You know, that's orphan mentality, okay? And I lived it for many years because I was a single mom for a long time and I had to do everything myself. Okay, but the Lord showed me, he said, that's an orphan mentality. He said, because you're a daughter of the King, you belong to me. So you give that need to me and I'll meet it. But stop agreeing with the orphan. Stop agreeing with the darkness, okay? If we agree with the darkness, it takes hold and it's a stronghold in our life, right? So one day, I was sitting in the car lot, and my air conditioner, you know, went out on my car. And I was having to go to Florida, you know. And I was like, Lord, I'm so tired of going to Florida with a car with no air conditioner. This is just like torture, you know. And, but I was sitting on a picnic table, and they told me, I think $1,000, something like that, to fix it. And automatically, that orphan thing in me jerked. And I hate it when it shows itself. I do. I hate it. Because I know it's not what he wants. But I literally said, well, Lord, I guess I just don't have an air conditioner. See, I agree with the darkness. See, this is where we mess up, and I'll say it for me. Okay, but I agree with the darkness. I said, I just don't have an air conditioner. And then knowing that God is my Father, knowing I've been raised in the church, knowing the Word of God, these are the places of darkness that we agree with sometimes. And guess what? It stays that way because we've agreed with it. Remember we talked about the power of agreement this morning? Okay. We did a power of agreement today that said Jesus is Lord over all, right? Okay, well, we make the power of agreement with something like, you know, my car doesn't have air conditioning. That's how it's going to stay because we've made an agreement with that place of darkness. We've made an agreement with that orphan mentality. Okay, so I'm sitting on the bench outside the place, and I'm going, this is good, Lord. And I heard in my, now watch this, this is the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Watch this. And I saw it in the greatest capacity that day. I'd never seen it before. My orphan mentality said, don't have the money, whatever, Lord, I don't care. You know, my spirit said, what a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to sing. I'm mad. I don't want to sing today. My car is tore up. I don't want to sing. And then I kept hearing it in my spirit, watch the flesh. I don't want to sing, I'm mad. The Spirit, what a beautiful name it is. In other words, he's given us a choice. Agree with darkness or get to the light. Whoa. See the difference between the Spirit and the flesh? Because the flesh is going to bring death. That car ain't never going to be fixed. Okay. The Spirit, the Lord's saying, sing to me and I'll fix it. And I sat there on that bench and I started singing and I started crying. And I thought, Lord, you are my Father in heaven. You are my provider. I will sing. And I started singing through tears. And I said, what a beautiful name it is. And I know whoever's watching me thought I was losing it over there, okay? But what I was doing was saying, Lord, I agree with you. I just don't know how. I agree with you, but I just don't know how. And the car was fixed and a week later, God gave me all of it. See, this is what I'm saying. If we believe that God is the light, that Jesus is the light, we don't make an agreement with anything dark. If our body's hurting, and we've all been there, we don't agree with it. I don't care what the doctor says. We don't agree with it. No, that might be a fact, but it's not true. The truth says we're healed. Okay, this is the way we fight, is by his light. And by not, when you feel this flesh and this spirit tug, he says everything we do with flesh will die. Everything we do with flesh will literally be locked up in us. Everything we do with spirit brings life, right? But sometimes the enemy is so subtle with the way he brings it to us that sometimes we agree with darkness and don't even realize it. Okay? For instance, okay, I would go into a room, and when I was a kid especially, very much an introvert, and I know y'all don't believe that because y'all always see me on the front line. That's the Holy Spirit bringing me on the front line, because if I was in myself, I'd sit on the back row. Okay, just to tell you, this is how different I really am. Okay, but in that place, you know, how do you say this? God wants us to be the light. He wants us to walk in the Spirit. He wants us to do things his way. And if you ever read that book, A More Excellent Way, can't think of the author right now, but he's saying that if we do things by the Spirit and we make an agreement with the Word, like he was saying, we will see these dark places dissipate. You think about it. I mean, that's what he's doing. He's rooting out the darkness. But in my book, Under the Shadow of the Almighty, I wrote about shadows. And shadows are things that, which I gave the book, that are behind us, that no longer are really relevant in our life anymore, and yet they're still speaking us today. They still have a hold on us today. And here's one. Okay, one of the shadows that I encountered was nobody cares. Okay. And it came in as a single mom. When I was going through my divorce and, you know, taking my son and going down the road and not knowing where I was going to land, and nobody cares. But it's so subtle, hear me, because we all have these thoughts. We all have them. But they're subtle, and they become so much a part of our identity that guess what? Sometimes we don't realize we're still doing them. We're still doing them to this day. I don't care how much you've been delivered, how much you've been saved, they still come around. Okay. So I'm sitting in a room full of people and loving people. It was a church down in Florida. They all loved us. They just corralled around us when we had the kids, and you know. But I felt that darkness. Nobody cares. And I'm in agreement with it. Nobody cares. I carried that thing for years in my soul. And I would feel it when I was in meetings. I would feel it when I was at lunch. I would feel it when I go to church. And I made an agreement with it. And one day I was at home, and I said to the Lord, nobody cares. And he said, I'm going to heal you of this. I'm going to take this lie away from you, because there are people that care about you. You see? But it's subtle. These dark places are not the profound ones we're talking about of a tsunami or a hurricane or a tornado. These are subtle places in our soul. And this is where the Lord told me to go today. He said that. He said, I want to illuminate some places of darkness in my people. Okay? There was two things that God showed me with the oil that I went to get from Clifton. One of them was entitlement. Watch this. That had to be delivered from us, all of us. And I was saying me too. Entitlement or, what was the other one? Hold on. Skepticism. Okay, we're believing for the glory to come here. We're believing for revival to hit in our church. And I know we do because of the prayers and the pastors and all of the elders. We're believing for that, okay? But we can't have a sense of entitlement, which is darkness, because it's pride. It's saying we deserve this. And we can't have a sense of skepticism to say, well, is it even real? Yeah. So these are the two places that I saw that some of us have made an agreement with. Even when I went to get the oil from that pastor, I had skepticism. Watch this. I go to the church with Susan. She took me. Thank God she had a heart for this. And we pray for her today, Lord. Bless her. But you go to places sometimes and God is moving And either you go with the place and you have a place of entitlement. Oh, I deserve this. I'm self-righteous. I'm good. I belong to Jesus. Okay, I'm going to get this. Or you go and you go, I want to see if this is even real. Now watch. And the Lord literally told me, sitting in that service, he said, I'm going to deliver you from both. Whoa. Because we have to be delivered from these places of darkness if we're going to receive the glory. We can't touch it. It's not ours. We can't claim it as anything that we have done. But it's coming. The Lord has already showed me a vision of Evan and Eva and T and me and pastors, all of us in a stadium full of people doing the same thing we're doing here. I had a dream that we were in a stadium and we were doing the same thing we're doing here. But see, that's when he said, don't worry about numbers today. Because it's not about numbers. It's about our heart. It's about these places of entitlement or skepticism being removed. And the way they're removed is because of the light. We don't make agreement with them. We don't deserve anything as far as the entitlement. And the other one is we need to stop being so judgmental and critical of everybody else's gifts. God, forgive all of us, you know? It's like we have this radar when we come in sometimes and we see some really blessed, like Evan doing worship, you know, and sometimes, or Eva, somebody doing something for the kingdom, and we have a judgmental attitude about it, you know? And you don't even know what they've walked through to be able to stand where they're standing. You don't even know what they went through last week, you know? So I'm believing that God is going to do this, that all at once he's going to turn a floodlight from me away from the women, turn a floodlight on for me, that you will give us revelation light in these dark places, and your brightness will show us the path ahead. And that's what I'm believing for our church. In Psalms 27:11, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? So I looked at the definition of light. He is a guide. He is our hope. He is our path. He is our choice. He is our joy. He is our answer. He is our direction. He is our strength. And he is our peace. And we're talking about shalom. So shalom includes all of that. Okay, in Psalms 27:11, in the Passion, it says, the Lord is my revelation light to guide me along the way. He is the source of my salvation to defend me every day. So it doesn't matter what place of darkness that we're in. It doesn't matter whatever subtle things God begins to root out in our lives, like he did with me in the car. He is able to bring light to those places. I think it's absolutely amazing. Okay, in Psalms 43:3, it says, pour into me the brightness of your daybreak. Pour into me your rays of revelation truth. Let them comfort me and gently lead me onto a shining path, showing the way into your burning presence, into your many sanctuaries of holiness. I don't know. I can read one sentence of this and I get excited. Pour into me the brightness of your daybreak. You know how it is when the light comes through the window in the morning, like, yay, it's morning. You know, as a child, think about it. When you were a child and you woke up in the morning, you'd be like, yay, day is a day, get up, yay, Cheerios, whatever you know. And you're excited, okay? What's going to happen today? What's going to happen today? Yay. You know how it is, Nana Grace and Lydia. But as an adult, after you've gone through some things, you get up in the morning sometimes and you go, oh, God, what's today? See the shift? That means we've made an agreement with some kind of darkness to say, oh, no, what's today, Lord? You know? Because he wants us to have that childlike faith that says, yay, what's today? What are you going to do today, Lord? What are you going to do at church? Yay. Who am I going to see? Yay. He wants us to have that light. He wants us to have that childlike hope. And that's what he's bringing us. That's what he's bringing us today, even with us agreeing with Jesus being over all. Okay. I heard this in a sermon this week, and it really spoke to me. It said, Where God is, the devil cannot. Okay, where God is, the devil cannot be. For light and darkness cannot coexist. So when you say, you know, what does it say? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay? He will flee from you. Anyway, I want to redo this. I find it. It says it in the Passion Translation of Psalms 43. Okay, listen to this. This is David's heart pouring out. Okay? God, clear my name. Plead my case against unjust charges of these ungodly workers of wickedness. Deliver me from these lying degenerates, for you are where my strength comes from and my protector. So why would you leave me now? Must I be covered with gloom while the enemy comes after me, gloating with glee? And this is the way I felt the other day. But pour into me the brightness of your daybreak. Pour into me your rays of revelation truth. Let them comfort me and gently lead me to a shining path into your many sanctuaries, into your burning presence. Then I will come closer to your very altar until I come before you, the God of ecstatic joy. I will praise you with a harp that plays in my heart to you, my God, my magnificent God. Then I will say to my soul, don't be discouraged, don't be disturbed, for I fully expect my Savior God to break through for me. Then will I have plenty of reasons to praise him all over again. Yes, living before his face is my saving grace. He said, fully expect my Savior God to break through for me. But the funny thing about it is sometimes we don't expect him to break through. We don't expect it. You know, we've all been guilty of that. You're up against some hard situations and you're praying. But sometimes, like I said, we've made an agreement of not expecting a good answer, you know. And anyway, so the more that we get into his light, the more we get into his truth, you know, is where we're going to find that those dark places, he's going to root them out. Even if they're simple, even if they're just simple thoughts you have during the day, you know. But I do pray that he would root out all entitlement and all skepticism out of our church. Because I know all of us want to have so much the heart of God, the love of God, and be able to see the glory reign here. God will not have anything to do with darkness. He won't have it. And I know in our heart of hearts, you know, all of us, that we desire that. And I know the pastors desire that, to come in here. We want to be able to host the glory in the way that he wants it hosted. And I told the elders in the meeting that day, you know, what I saw. So, Father God, we just pray today that you would root out all the darkness in our life. Father, every place that we've made an agreement with darkness, every place where we've made an agreement with an orphan mentality, where we act like we don't have a father, where we act like we don't have a provider, where we act like we don't have a protector or a healer, please forgive us. Have mercy, Lord. We ask you for that revelation light, that lighthouse, that intensity of your light and your power to come into our lives and change us forever. In Jesus' name. And I just wanted to ask you guys, if anyone wants to come up for prayer, if you know a place of darkness that you're dealing with or a place of reoccurring thought or anything like that, I just want you guys to be able to come up and me and T will pray over you. And see what God does, because I know there's a reason he wanted the message done today. I know I was delivered in the car. I was literally delivered in the car of a really, really dark place. You know, so...